Rebellions are built on hope.
To another episode of Radio Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Alberto Calderon. Thank you for joining us on another Star Wars Saturday. Our co-host Aldi will be here shortly, and just as we're starting his series like he planned it. How are you doing, Aldi? Just in time. Where were you?
I was taking out my dog. I texted you.
I know. You're part of the show. All right. So, yeah, your dog just decided to go out, have some time with his owner, but you made it just as we were starting. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah. I've done nothing today, which has been fun.
That's always the best. What you did today, I just nothing. I just hanged out. That
absolutely
was
nothing.
This is the Venn diagram of Star Wars fans watching this show and people that might be track and field fans. It's fairly very small. But I was at the Florida Pepsi Relays this afternoon in Gainesville, in the university where I work. We said, hey, let's go spend some time there. I love track and field, my favorite sport, basically. And they're doing the 4x100 relay. And it's usually college. It's just collegiate, some high school. But they're also with the Olympics coming up. Some Olympic athletes apparently are training and getting ready for it. And as the 4x100 relay was about to start, they said, oh, and we have Grant Holloway, who is the world record holder of the 110-meter hurdles, and Christian Coleman, who is another U.S. champion in 100s, and Noah Lyle, who is right now the biggest, he's the Messi of track and field, was there. It's like, holy crap. So my inner track and field child just had an experience watching the current stars of track and field couple feet away. So good afternoon for me today.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you. And I have a pigeon. A pigeon showed up yesterday. It's banded. We tried to find the owner. They move. Around they let out all their pigeons. And now the pigeon doesn't want to leave. It's outside my door as we speak.
Okay. Yeah, so back in my house, they would make like a nest in the, there was like a chandelier in front of the entrance, and they would make a nest there, and they would constantly like crash against the the glass door.
Yeah. Since I knew, just when you look out my front porch, there was a house, you could see pigeons flying, and they would then go back, and then a couple of days later they were flying. Okay, someone owns pigeons and trains them, whatever. So when this pigeon showed up yesterday, not flying, it was banded. I went to the house. No, they moved a couple of months ago. I think just let out their pigeons, and one of them now it's in front of my house. But anyway,
whatever.
Yeah. Thank you if you're joining us for the first time. Make sure you subscribe to our channel so you don't miss any new episodes where they drop. If you're watching us live, give us a like and then leave us a comment down below. Also, anything we might be discussing today or any other topic you might want us to talk about in the future. And if you're listening to the audio podcast, rating, reviews, 5 stars, all that. And also, thank you for being there. But Ati, before we start, who are you? It's in the chat. I saw Brennan earlier. Who else is there?
Yes, Brennan is in the chat. Hi, Brennan. Dale, as always. Hi, Dale. Mo is here today. Hi, Mo.
Hello, Mo.
Mo's asking if we changed the intro recently. I did not listen to it, so I don't know.
So we changed it for, excuse me, when we started a new season, so season 8 of Radio Rebellion, I changed some of the pictures. Some of the images are different, but
you haven't been here in a while, though.
She was here actually a couple of weeks ago when you were out. She was here.
Oh, okay.
She was great.
Hi, Alan.
And Alan. Oti, I'm guessing you're not in Puerto Rico. You're not in the Puerto Rico Comic Con, unfortunately. No.
I'm not there. Yeah. I actually wanted to go, but no.
Yeah. My brother-in-law is there. He has a booth selling a bunch of toys, so he's sending pictures.
Oh, really?
Very fun. Yeah.
Charles Soule has a booth there.
I know.
Before my cousins were talking to him. Buck is here also.
Hey, Buck. How you doing, Buck? All right, so let's go. So if you guys are ready, let's talk Star Wars and Star Wars on TV. Star Wars on TV. All right, Oti. Episode 9 of The Bad Batch, The Harbinger, which I spent a couple of weeks ago here pouring my heart out. This was going to be the episode that tech is going to come back. We're all going to see this tech. You weren't here, but you were ready to scream at me. And then after last week's episode, we kind of realized, oh, it's probably Asajj Ventress. And they didn't wait like 2 minutes to show us Asajj Ventress, but we're in Pabu. Batcher and Omega are hanging out on the beach, and they found a cave with a weird ship. Excuse me. And then Asajj Ventress shows up, kind of out of nowhere, a bit anticlimactic, at least for my point. But see, were you surprised, I guess, at least that we got Ventress so early on? Like, it wasn't, they were on a mission or something. Just, yeah, Ventress here, and let's just go ahead and start.
So I wasn't, because Twitter let me know that Ventress was on the episode before I watched it. So like when I sat down and watched, I was like, oh, that's Ventress, of course. So no, I was mentally ready for it.
Yeah. I'm glad that we saw her on the trailer first and we could all get excited and get all that out.
Yep.
Because by the time she showed up, it's like, okay, we knew she was coming. And the way the last week episode ended is kind of hinting that it might be. But if we had no idea and that was her introduction, I think it would have been a little bit different. I know Twitter has been, at least when the episode came out, kind of divided a little bit. And we'll talk more, I guess, by the end of today's episode. How you felt that they handled her backstory, which wasn't really discussed? Was it okay? Should they have mentioned something? The Bad Batch doesn't even have an idea of she or who she is, so why would she reveal this? We can leave that to the end, but Twitter was very divided. If you were a fan of Asajj Ventress, you like what you got, and then some other people didn't appreciate it too much. But they talk about M counts. I think we talked in one episode, maybe when you were out, and mentioned that I think you were here, that Ventress might be the one to have some information about what M counts were.
She's literally like, it's midichlorians, you morons.
Yeah, you don't know this. I got a test in my ship. I was waiting for it to get one of those like blood tests that you do to see if you have low blood sugar and just test it right there. And no, let's do some tests.
That's the thing you get in the
And then freaking Omega went with asking for a friend bit, and Ventress like, I know you're asking for yourself.
It's two episodes of people being like, you guys are terrible at this. Like,
yeah, you're not good.
We have that episode with Fennec, where she's like, that's not how you approach a bounty hunter. He was like, yeah. Oh, yes, it's not for me.
Yeah. But I'm glad that they're not wasting time. It's like, why are you here? We want to know about end counts for us. The Empire's chasing us or whatever. So Ventress not dumb. She knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we got, for all the people that complain in Ahsoka, why it's Sabine Wren, a Mandalorian. I mean, a Jedi, say everyone force sensitive, blah, blah, blah. And we got a little bit here. Did you appreciate Ventress? Yeah, midichlorians. We all got them. Some have a higher level than others. And then those can become Jedi. And then we're, oh, I'm a Jedi? No. Like, hold your horses. You need training to be a Jedi. So we all got them. Doesn't mean that you're a Jedi just because. You appreciate that we got that so people could, in the real world, kind of just relax.
I just hope they repeat this, like, in every single episode of everything. Like, yeah. Oh, by the way, everyone has midichlorians. Oh, by the way, the Force is in everyone. Like,
yeah, instead of showing... Clear. Or the 66 in every show, just give us the same explanation for midichlorians every show.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, this episode was basically, let's get back with Asajj Ventress, which we all know and love. I mean, some people more than others.
It was like a very chill episode.
Yes, which I'm fine with it, because even last episode, which had a lot of actions fighting the Gators and then with the weird mantis monster or bounty hunter. It's like two chill episodes, at least for half of our crew. They've just been chilling. Because, mm-hmm. You know, now, okay, you had your rest and relaxation. Now we're just going to go. And from people that already apparently seen most of the second half, it's go, go, go. So I'm glad that we got a little chill time. and now we're ready to go. But the episode in general was okay. And also, I saw some reviews of people saying, did it move the plot and didn't do this, it wasted this character. I think it was fine.
What did they think was going to happen? Like, was Ventress going to show up halfway through the season, its last season, and be like, yes, I'm taking over the show now, and it's my show. Like, this was always going to be it. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if she came back, like, in the finale, but I was never expecting her to become a recurring character. Like, I was literally just expecting this. She's going to show up in one episode, give us some information, and then go away. Like,
yeah.
Because that's how Star Wars animated shows. That's how Star Wars shows work, basically.
Isn't that what Luke Skywalker did in that episode when he showed up?
Again, it goes back to what I was saying last week. Like, Star Wars storytelling is fairly simple. Like, we don't get into these arbitrary things and start debating, like going deeper. It's like, no, people show up, they do something, they leave.
I think we spend so much time either online or doing shows like this talking about the episodes and what we want to see and all the backstories and our headcanons that we cannot expect that to then just show up on the television shows or in the movie to explain all the 6 hours that we spent talking about it. So, no, we got to move the story and those characters. It's different from what we're talking about.
And like, I've heard a lot of people be like, well, this was clearly a backdoor pilot. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm not really sure that's what, like, don't get me wrong, it could happen. Like, like this show could be over. And yeah, so we're going into the path and it's Asajj and Quinlan.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't get that vibe at all.
No. We'll talk at the end. We'll go over Ventress showing, not getting her, kind of how she survived or came back. And then some comments that Jennifer Corbett made on StarWars.com that same day. We'll talk about that at the end and what that means for the character.
But I just want to mention that I love that they know about the Discord. So every time Asajj is like, she showed up in the trailer, now she showed up in the show, like Jennifer Corbett has to be like, no, this is what we're doing.
I'm glad that they're doing it. Just so we don't need to spend 3 months before Tales of the Jedi season 2 comes out or whatever. It's like, just fighting the trailer, like you mentioned, the trailer came out and for those 10 minutes, people were like, how the hell is she alive? Oh, here's the interview that explains it. Hey, Roberto, how you doing?
Roberto.
So yeah, I'm glad that they're ahead of the curve. Let's just nip this in the bud before it gets too crazy. But I enjoyed the episode, not crazy. I mean, it wasn't a crazy episode. It doesn't, of course, it moves the plot of Omega trying to know where she fits, where she belongs. And even though I like Ventress, I'm not the biggest fan, so I don't know her whole history. I have all my ducks in a row to come between everything that she did, but she's a different character now. Same as the Bad Batch, right? Look at Crosshair. We keep talking about everyone that we meet is a reflection of Crosshair somehow. Ventress, this assassin, like they say, is a separatist assassin. And now she's like, I'm just here to train her. Just give us some space. And let me do my stuff.
I love how both Crosshair and Asajj are basically like in this mood where, yes, I'm a good guy, but I'm going to be a dick about it.
Yeah. Right? So you're going to have to earn my respect, just earn me being here. And I love talking about Crosshair and why this show and Star Wars, we love it, it's so stupid sometimes. When Omega and Ventress are out at sea training, everyone has their binocs. Yeah, that part. Everyone has their binocs and Crosshair with the sniper scope. It's like, dude, just get some binoculars. Why you need to be so killer with the scope just ready to shoot? And then, oh, how did you know? Just freaking record. Hey, you made a friend. At the beginning when Crosshair is helping the lady. You made a friend. Oh, man, so dumb. But we love it.
Record.
Take those as tests, just balance on a rock, put your hand out. Yeah, I'm testing you to be a Jedi. Those were like very basic tests, but whatever.
I mean, like, I think it's maybe like kind of the Anakin thing. Like, oh, he's a human and he's pot raising. Humans usually can't pot raise. He must be force sensitive. Yeah. Like, you feel me? Like, I think it's kind of like that. Like, yeah, sustain your balance in the slippery slope. Oh,
yeah. I did enjoy when she mentioned a lot of force sensitive people has this or attuned to nature and to animals. It's something we've been seeing since Rebels, right? With Ezra is one of the first that we saw that really connected with animals, with, and we've seen it through Ahsoka and some other shows, this connection that Jedi have with animals. So I love that they still keep playing with it. And of course, Omega, with no training, wasn't able to connect with the fishes, but Ventress is able to get there. We get this giant kraken, the Rathian, show up with weird creature with this beak on his forehead, but a lot of Star Wars monsters this time around.
I kind of love like this parallel of, I'm not sure if parallel is the right word, but this thing of Asajj reaching out to connect and accidentally brings a monster into the fold.
Like,
kind of shows her struggle. Like, I'm a good guy, but sorry.
Yeah, her strength, how strong she is in the force, and maybe not able to control it fully, just caused the biggest monster around. So they've been living in Pabu for a couple of years. They didn't know that a giant sea creature was there. But something we talked about, Ventress kind of changing since we last saw her, or read in the book, and Crosshair changing, like Omega saying that, well, people change. Yes, it might have been a separatist assassin during the war, but people change. Look at Crosshair. I didn't give up on you, like Omega tells Crosshair. Mm-hmm. Like we keep saying, Omega still having that kind of goodness in her, even through everything that she's been through. I've seen some people say that this episode showed kind of Omega needing to separate herself from the Bad Batch, or the Bad Batch let her kind of spread her wings on her own. Did you get this sense? Because I'm seeing this as a parent of a 13-year-old daughter, and like, I'm still going to be there. I know she hasn't gone through a war and everything Omega's gone through. I don't want now Omega to say, hey, I need to leave my family that we just connected again. I'm going to go do my own stuff. I hope it doesn't go that way.
I mean, I think that's kind of why the episode is called The Harbinger, because that's like, yes, he's of course telling them like it's not safe and you guys are like calling way too much attention to yourself, like walking around asking about midichlorians in clone trooper armor.
I was waiting for her to say something about that, but didn't. But
she also is like, hey, there's gonna come a time where if she wants to explore this, she's gonna have to leave, because she can't stay with you. And I kind of think that's maybe why this episode is The Harbinger. Not just because we know like Pavu is going to get attacked.
Yeah.
And because of the trailer.
Yeah.
But I also think like that's also how the show is maybe going to wrap up. Like she has, and that's always a kind of a Star Wars thing. Like looking to the horizon, being like, I want more. I just, like there's more for me out there than here in this moisture farm. So like in Omega's case, I'm sure she just doesn't want to be defined as a clone for the rest of her life. She wants to do other things. And if she is force sensitive, maybe, I don't know, maybe the next show is Asajj and Omega and them training out there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's something that, because she keeps asking, I want to know where I fit or who am I? Because, yeah, she's a clone of Jango or whatever. And like you said, she wants to be defined as more than just a clone. So we'll see where that goes. I enjoyed the fight. I enjoyed that Asajj kicked their three butts like she should. Especially when Omega comes back and Crosshair's down. She's force choking Wrecker, has the lightsaber on Hunter's neck. She's like, dude, just stop.
So I love that she's probably like working harder at not killing them than actually fighting.
Yeah. So let's get to, she went out, connected with the creature after he was attacking them. And then the big question from Hunter, hey, is she force sensitive? Is she a Jedi? Whatever. She gives a so-and-so answer, right? She says, no, she's not. Are you lying? Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe she wants to pursue this. She needs to leave and actually train. Where do you fall? I think, just watching the show, I think she was lying. And there's some, I think she might be force sensitive or have some higher midichlorians. But I also go back to, I think in those first two or three episodes, and maybe I'm wrong, I was going to double check and I didn't have the time. They were looking for people that were susceptible for MCAM transfer, right? Not that they had high MCAM.
Yeah, so I don't know that's like the other thing. Like they were looking exactly for DNA that could hold the MCAM.
Yeah, so maybe she doesn't have that high a level. Maybe she can be given more midichlorians. We'll see. But what do you feel? You think she was just lying to kind of not break their hearts, basically? Or
I think she was. I think she's force sensitive. Like I think that's maybe where this is going.
Yeah, I think we're with her comment about, hey, if she wants to explore this, she needs to kind of be away from you guys for a while. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of pricks you a little bit to say there's something there that we need to explore. So I think in general it was a good episode, a little chill episode before the last six episodes, I think, started coming out. But so let's talk a little bit more about Asajj and the big kind of elephant in the room. Everyone was, after the trailer, half people were all there retconning the books and everything that happened, and then like you mentioned, Fred Corbett said, we know how she survived, we read the books. But then I guess a lot of people, even myself included, I won't say that I wasn't part of that. I thought that when she showed up, then we'll get some answers. But we didn't. As watching the show, it kind of makes sense that she wasn't gonna, after Voss dropped me in the green goo, I came back and there was no one around. Because they don't even know. Crosshair had to go find Tex.
He literally just met them.
Internet database to figure out who the hell Ventress was. So it's like, we're not going to get that explanation. Were you okay with it? Were you waiting for something?
Thing is, in the scenario in which she was introduced, like really didn't make much sense to me for her to stop the show all of a sudden, look at the camera and be like, yes, I died that one time at Count Dooku's hand, but then Mother Talzin was like, hey, come back to life, and I'm here now. Like, that didn't really make any sense to me. There was no point in the episode where I was like, oh, this is the moment. Like, it just, that wasn't the story that we're telling.
Yeah, to me, the episode was like an introduction of this character for people that didn't know who she was. Like, you don't need to know anything about Asajj Ventress to enjoy this episode. It's just a cool-looking character with a lightsaber, and then you can start asking 20 questions about who the hell this person is, and then if you start searching, you'll find out, or just wait for whatever comes next. We mentioned growth of the character, how different she was from what we knew her in the Clone Wars, but then we had that article with Jennifer Corbett on StarWars.com talking about how she survived and that this will be explored in future content. And like you mentioned, some people said, backdoor pilot, here we go, the Asajj Ventress show is coming up. Myself and a lot of other people thought, this is probably Tales of the Jedi. It makes sense to get a 3-episode arc in Tales of the Jedi Season 2 to explain how she survived and maybe how she got to where we meet her in Bad Batch. So that's where I'm going. I'm not going as far as, not the next animated show might feature Asajj Ventress training Omega. Who knows? They did that with the Bad Batch, right? Kind of backdoor pilot with Season 7. So I don't know. Where do you fall in that?
I kind of feel like they have to have like big plans for her. Mm-hmm. Because Asajj is a major character that you are bringing back to life. And yes, we can talk about death in Star Wars doesn't mean anything, but for example, Palpatine came back regardless of how you feel about him going back. Sure. He was a major part of the sequel trilogy and the finale to everything.
Yeah.
Maul came back and was a major figure in the Clone Wars, in Rebels, and even in Solo, kind of being like the puppet master of it all.
Mm-hmm.
So here with Asajj, it would be very weird for me if she got brought back here in Bad Batch just to bring her back in a three episode arc in
just to explain how she survived and not moving her forward.
Because then in that case, that should have been her reintroduction.
Sure.
And surprise us all with maybe that third episode being her coming back after dying. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I truly don't. Maybe they do that and then she does another thing. But I kind of feel like there's more to her story that we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe more than just Tales of the Jedi.
Could be. As you were talking about, it makes sense, because just to bring her back to say, hey, this is how she survived and not have more adventures with her does seem like a waste. And even though, like I mentioned, she's not my favorite character, she's very big in all the Clone Wars fan club, basically. And not even in the StarWars.com interview, the actress that does the voice for Asajj was on a convention recently. And also said, there's more coming, it's not just Bad Batch. So I think there might be something there that I'm not seeing.
Yeah, the disclaimer with that one, because from what I read it, she told it to a fan who she was signing something. And then she was
it's not official.
Like, pick up the iceberg or something. But yeah, I do think, again, she's a major character. You just don't bring Asajj back. And by the way, this is a story. Her death was a story conceived by Katie Lucas, the daughter of George Lucas. Yeah. Like, you don't undo that just for nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
or maybe you do. I don't know. It was also very interesting, by the way, like Jennifer being like, no, this was Dave's idea. So it's Dave doing to them what George did to him with Maul. Like, oh, by the way, Darth Maul's alive. Wait, what? Yeah, figure it out.
And I think just real quick with Darth Maul, just coming back in Solo, and you know that if Solo was the hit that they hope, that story would have continued and Maul will still be out there.
Yep.
So it tracks that Ventress. There might be something more for her coming. And we've talked here how much we would like a show or something with the path. So if she's involved in that, then that kind of gives us that in into how the path got formed, the clones, if it comes to that you mentioned, that maybe the end, the clones helping with the path, and of course, Val. So it's a lot of cool things that can happen with this character now.
I was also thinking, like, if this was Dave's idea, could you imagine, like, season two of Ahsoka, like, Asajj in Peridia? Like, I have no idea how I got here. I was surfing on a whale, and here I am.
Oh, the path led me here. I don't know how it got. Just open a door, and here we are. Dude, if Asajj, and I know that not everyone is a fan of animated characters making it to live action, but if Asajj Ventress shows up with Ahsoka, cool. With knowing that, that'd be something big. So real quick, I think as we wrap up a little bit, so next week, it's a two-parter. I didn't know it was a two-parter. Identity Crisis and Point of No Return. I guess before we jump to those, you mentioned at the beginning, you don't think that Ventress is coming back, maybe at the finale when everyone shows up. I don't know. At the end of this episode, I thought that she might show up at one point. But it's difficult, the way the season has been going on the story that they're telling, that she shows up, unless it's at the end, just to say, yeah, Omega's coming with me. Omega decided she wants to go train. And then kind of goes, those are Rebel season 4 ending with Ahsoka taking Sabine. It will just be.
The show ends with Omega being like looking to the horizon, Omega Fett, and walks to a Asajj ship and leaves.
Yeah. And then Boba Fett is there also just waiting. Oh, my sister finally found
me. She's no use to me dead.
Or alive. So Identity Crisis and Point of No Return, which were my big end to my Tech is Coming Back speech. I'm still hoping that Tech comebacks, but I don't think it's going the way I said 2 weeks ago. What do you think this Identity Crisis? Is still Omega now kind of figuring out who she is in terms of force sensitivity, clone, going into this war?
I'm still not convinced on the Tech thing, but I think it will be the return of that ghost trooper thing we saw.
CX2,
Sure. I think it's going to be their return. If it's Tech, if it's a Crosshair clone, if it's Boba Fett trying to make it as an Imperial, I don't know. Yeah. But like, I think that's where maybe that's going to go.
Okay. I wish. That way I can keep my hopes up that it was actually Tech. We'll find out next week. And like I said, a lot of people have already jumped on Twitter. I thought there were bots because the post was basically the same. It's like, I just saw the second half of the Bad Batch, except for the finale. And it was great. If you thought it was dark and broody, blah, blah, blah. They just seem like the same pose. But I'm glad that people are loving it.
I don't care.
I mean, at the end, right? And I saw a few that were, oh, the finale better bring it because everything hangs on the finale, all these points. if there's one thing that Star Wars Animation does very well, it's finale episodes. I don't think they dropped that ball in one, so it's gonna be great.
No, they're all pretty good.
Yeah, they're all pretty good. So I got a wild theory that I've been holding since like week 3 of the Bad Batch, and you were out for a couple of weeks. I didn't have a place to ask you last week. So I'm gonna ask you today. And it's a, not sure that's gonna happen. I just think it'll be cool with all the talks about midichlorians and cloning and probably necromancer and how this plot is similar to the Mandalorian plot. Do you think by the finale we can get a young Gideon in the Bad Batch kind of, I kind of like this idea about cloning and injecting myself with midichlorians. Maybe he is CX2, although they're clones, but I would love to see Gideon at the end. Maybe the Emperor, hey, Gideon, take Hemlock after I've killed him and throw him down the garbage chute. And he's like, I have a few ideas about
that. That would be like a very funny story, like having him on, in a corner being like, oh, I'm taking over this now.
I think it would be cool if he shows up.
I agree.
All right. Anything else as we prepare for the last 5 episodes of the Bad Batch?
Not really. Like, it was fun. It was cool. It was good.
It's a cool episode. 27 minutes to that point. Omega training to be a Jedi. Or just training, I should say. Similar to Luke training Rey. I guess at least she got the 3 tests. When Rey only got 3 lessons, my favorite. Yeah, go run up the hill before the sun sets. Yeah, that's a lesson. Just leave us alone.
Go look for a flower while fight with your parents.
Kick their asses. All right. So that does it for the Bad Batch. And I want to take a couple of minutes out, if you don't mind, to do a spoiler review for Defy the Storm.
Wait, a spoiler review?
Non-spoiler. Non-spoiler review for Defy the Storm, latest High Republic by Tessa Granton and Justina Ireland. Yes, you were saying.
Before you go, I'm going to make fun of you. Because I'm always like, your non-spoiler reviews always make me laugh. Because this is like the kind of non-spoiler talk you do. It's like, oh, so Elsar and Mark and Ro go into a room and only one of them is coming out. And you're like, Alberto, that's a spoiler. No, I didn't tell you who it was. So then in the next scene, Markion Rowe is, and you're like, Alberto, what the fuck?
Dude, I even wrote stuff down just to try not to spoil anything. But I don't know, I suck at this. Where are you at? I know you've been busy, so I don't know how much.
I'm juggling 2 things I'm not liking. This book and the 13th Doctor.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm going to highlight because Brennan put at the beginning before the show started, had a comment there where he said, Defy the Storm is pretty good. I'm almost done with it, and it's been pretty engaging. So, reality.
Yep.
All right. But, I mean, that's the great thing about Star Wars and books and everything. We all get it.
Let's celebrate, Mo. I'm somewhat through The Rising Storm. Oh, that's my favorite Star Wars book, Mo. Like, truly.
I think that episode was Mo was here. Say, I just got my copy of Defy the Storm. And she's like, I'm still trying to finish phase 1. I'll be there eventually. It takes time. And this book, I'm going to start right there. Even though it's a follow-up to Out of the Shadows, it really, really helps if you've read A Test of Courage, Mission to Disaster, mm-hmm. Out of the Shadows, of course, and even the Vernestra story from Tales of Light and Life, because that's where she's at. It's one of those Star Wars books, even though you should be able to just pick it up and enjoy it, and you would, it benefits you like 105% to have read those previous books because of the characters that show up. It's Avon, it's Vernestra, it's... I just wrote...
Avon, who last time we saw her was a kid.
Avon, Vernestra, Jordana Sparkburn, Sylvester Yarrow, Silent Graf, Kara Sue, Dr. Mkempa, Deva Lompa, all these are characters from all those books.
Yep.
To really know where their mindset is at, you need to have read those books. And that's good for people like us that just consume everything. Might be not the best for people that I'm just going to skip this book or skip that one because they're going to be a little bit lost on some of the motivations. Basically, this story, this is not a spoiler because this is in the back of the book, is Vernestra is down in the dumps, basically. Last time we saw her, she was way-seeking. She was trying to meditate, find her connection to people, because she lost her master, mm-hmm. in Stellangios, and believe she lost her Padawan, Imbri Cantaros, also in the Fall of Starlight. But Avon comes to say, hey, no, he's alive. He's behind the stone wall. I need your help to save him. And that's basically how the story goes. Hey, but we need Styland Graf, who's a dick, which is still great. And this now murderer, Deva Lompov, which is kind of my carer now, she's going to be with us. So it's a mishmash of characters. So a lot of it depends on if you like and enjoy those characters, if you're going to love this book or not. And I did enjoy it. It's not my favorite book, but there's a lot of it to enjoy. There's a lot of cool revelations. Some are important to the story that's being told. But the most fun things is what it pushes for future stories. And you, oh, I see where this is going. Or this can have different implications for the Nile and the Nameless. Or what the Jedi are trying to do, trying to find a way to get back and forth between the Stormwall, which is very similar to some of the previous Phase 3 books in Into the Darkness. Isn't it? No. Whatever the first one was. I already forgot.
Into the Dark.
No, the first Phase 3 book. Phase 3.
Darkness.
Yeah. That one and Escape from Valor. It's like we're trying to find a way to get back and forth, or communications, or for a ship to get into the Stormwall. So this book goes very deep into that. And that's going to, of course, be important moving forward. Speaking about characters, and there's a lot of characters from the books, from the previous books, that, like I mentioned, there's also a lot of characters that show up just to show up. And I'm not going to say who, but it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, look who's here. Oh, they're gone. Like, really? You could have just used anyone? So that was a little bit of a downer when you see a character show up and you're excited to follow them. And then, oh, no, they were just there to give some information. And some of them make sense that those characters were there. Others, like, it could have been anyone, but mm-hmm. whatever.
Okay.
So there's cool action sequence. There's one that's reminiscent to Eva Chris fighting the Storm Seeds, the little storm droids in
the previous one?
In the first one, she's outside just hanging for the starship. There's something similar, at least the ship is getting attacked. So it's mm-hmm. very cool the way they went about it. But yeah, a lot of it depends on where you're at with these characters and the way that Justina, just forgot her name, and Tessa Granton write her writing style. So I did enjoy the book. The things I enjoy the more is what it pushes for the next couple of books, which might not be the best, because then this book kind of
the MCU of it all, like it's all about
And that's credit. Something that I've been seeing more and more recently, not just with the High Republic, but just in media in general, when it starts combining all these stories. It's, oh, this is cool, but I'm just trying to push you to the next story, and then you get to that story, and oh, this is cool, but the coolest part is where it pushes for the next one. It's like, I don't need a post-credits scene. Just give me a cool story here.
Yep.
Some very cool things. Character arcs are great. Again, not going to spoil those, but and I wish when we do our non-spoiler after you finish, I want to talk about it. Something we talked about previously where we think some Phase 3 things might go, but I love all these characters start kind of Vernestra, like I mentioned. So it's trying to figure herself out. Mm-hmm. Of course, we meet Imri, and Imri's in a totally different position that Vernestra is and makes a decision that then impacts what she wants to do for the future. Avon is just, she hates her mother because she's working with the Nile and wants to create chaos, and then where she falls, and the same thing for Jordana and Silanin. They have good character arcs and starts bringing a lot of things together that we mentioned. We'll talk about more in our spoiler review, but if you enjoy The High Republic and those previous books that I mentioned, you're going to enjoy this 100%. I still give it a positive review, I think like 3.5 or 3.2 out of 5. Mm-hmm. So it's still a good book, not my favorite. And like, okay. I don't know, maybe it's because I want that bigger story with the main characters, that when we get some of these smaller, or I don't want to call Vernestra a side character, I think you know what I mean. It's not the main Jedi Masters doing their own stuff. It's still important for the main story that's being told. It's not my favorite part of it. So go pick it up. It's been out for a couple of weeks, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And then when you finish, eventually,
I'll finish at some point.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it. So yeah. So one thing, kind of moving away from the spoiler review or non-spoiler, it's I don't hear people talking about this book anymore, especially now that the embargo kind of dropped for
Living Force.
The Living Force. And that's where most people kind of talk this past week. And again, even though I'm extremely grateful that I get some of these books in advance, Defy the Storm wasn't one of those. I'm part of it that when embargo drops, we're just talking about that book like 2 or 3 weeks before it actually comes out. And by the time it comes out, since all the reviews have been out for a couple of weeks, there's not a lot of chatter about it. It's like, Defy the Storm, I mean, we should be talking about this book, and it's not out there. It's like, yeah, that Living Force, let's talk about that when it comes out next week.
But I honestly think, like, with the exception of Into a Dark, like, do you really remember, like, Out of the Shadows and, what was the last YA?
Mission to Disaster.
No, that wasn't a YA.
No, the last one, sorry?
The last YA of Phase 1. Midnight Horizon. Do you remember, like, a lot of discourse around those two books? Because I don't.
I think Midnight Horizon, yes, because it came out very close to The Fallen Star.
It was the last one.
Yeah,
but and like for Out of the Shadows,
it
was great. It was great, but I truly don't remember a lot of discourse for Out of the Shadows, for example.
No, and you're right. It wasn't. But the fun thing is, there's something in Out of the Shadows that gets revealed in this book, in Defy the Storm, pretty early. Something that happens in Out of the Shadows revealed here pretty early that I thought was extremely cool and made 100% sense. Like, why didn't I think of this? So it helps to have read those books to have a little bit of understanding. But yeah, I think you're right. But they should. We should be talking more about some of these books. But there's so much out there that it's difficult sometimes. All right. Do you have any questions about it before we kind of wrap up?
Not really. I still want to read it. I'm having a hard time getting like hooked on it. That's really about it.
It's fine. Yeah, Alan saying you gotta finish it before The Acolyte, hopefully in June. So you got like 3 months. But then The Living Force comes out, and that's gonna take your time. Because that was a pretty great book.
I'm still not sure if I'm gonna read it, honestly.
Oh, okay. You want me to send you the audio? I got the audio files also. Don't hear that. Whoever's out there from Star Wars. Audiobooks. I didn't say that. I'll send it to you.
Maybe I will. I don't know. I just don't know. It just depends. When does it come out? Is it next week?
I think it's next April 9th or April 6th, something like that. Probably the 9th. Okay. April 9th is Tuesday, I think.
I'm having it shipped back home, so I won't get it until late April, which is when I'm going back. So let's see.
I know. I'm going to start pushing hard to get John Jackson Miller on the show, and then you have to read it. If I'm able to do that, then you'll read it.
Hey, remember that time when I read Path of Vengeance in one day?
One day. I want to say proud, but I am. I'm surprised that you managed to do that. I killed it.
Me too.
All right, Alti. So that does it for Defy the Storm. I'm just going to mention we won't go into War Between Families, but tomorrow we're getting a new trailer for Doctor Who and 8 episode titles. Oh, man, that came out of nowhere. We're very excited for that.
It's going to be 8 episodes?
I know that. I don't think that season is going to be 8 episodes. I hope it's not. Doctor Who usually is like 12 or 13. So
it's usually 10, I think.
All right, 10 and then a Christmas special or something. I hope not. I hope it's more than 8.
Okay.
Unless we're getting 8 titles. So that's going to be cool.
Something not Doctor Who related, I wanted to mention X-Men 97. If you're a fan of the X-Men or the X-Men animated series, check that show out. It's really good. I'm loving it.
I'm going to have to check it. Not only you. I mean, you've been a big proponent of it for a while now. But everyone online is just bragging about this show. So I think we'll have to, and there's only 3 episodes out, right?
So the thing is, like, I back in my first year of college, I rewatched the whole animated series of X-Men. I was like, wow, this was like really cool. So I have it like, I mean, my first year of college was like over 10 years ago, but I still have it kind of fresh.
Yeah.
And this felt just like jumping right back into it. It's silly 90s cartoons. Okay. And
is it the same stories? Do you remember it just... X-Men, kind of the same vibe, but it's just new stories.
It takes place like 1 year after the end of the animated series. It's in the same universe.
Okay. Yes, Mo. We saw the House of the Dragon trailers. We're extremely excited.
We talked about it last week. So good.
Team Black. Can't wait. So yeah, I'll probably check it out. My daughter was making fun of me because I watched a few of the Star Trek, not Discovery, Star Trek, I forgot the name. The cartoons are showing now on Netflix. I started watching Lower Decks. Those. No, not Lower Decks. It's the...
Prodigy.
Prodigy, thank you. I haven't finished the first season. I watched like 10 or 12 episodes, and there it says, Star Trek, Nickelodeon, whatever. She's, oh, you're watching Nickelodeon now. Ooh, Nickelodeon. And then we saw a trailer for X-Men 97. She's, oh, look, Nickelodeon for you. I'm like, stop making fun of me.
Is Nickelodeon... Is Nickelodeon still a thing?
I think so. I don't have it, but I don't have cable, so I can't say. But I'm gonna say it's still a thing. There's a lot.
Whenever, if your daughter goes, does the Nickelodeon thing, put Silence on set for her and be like, "This is Nickelodeon."
Yeah.
Quiet on set.
Real quick, quiet on set. I've been watching Three Body Problem on Netflix from
talking about House of.
It's okay. It's a good show. It's not great. So it's a very interesting story, and what they plant, what's happening, it's very not thought provoking. But oh, this is cool. The writing could be better. It's not bad. Some of it is kind of obvious, kind of, oh yeah, you're trying to make a joke here. It really doesn't work. Haha. But it's a very interesting story. I think I have 2 episodes left, so we'll see. We'll see how that ends. And I'm watching on Apple TV. It's just go watch Apple TV. Some great shows there. I'm watching Manhunt, which is basically a spy thriller having to do with the murder of Abraham Lincoln and then the hunt for John Wilkes Booth.
Okay.
Great show. Great acting. Okay. It's a spy thriller in the 1800s or whatever. It's great. Great.
I actually canceled my Apple TV Plus. So.
Yeah. If you get a free trial or something, check it out. There's some good shows over there.
I'll just say again, like, I'm still watching Doctor Who, but yikes, it's rough.
Still on the first season with her?
Yeah, I'm almost done. I'm just baffled that they have like a great doctor, very good companions, and the show is just so bland.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what they're building to. Like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, every episode is just like, I usually tell Tony, like, there's something that sometimes bugs me about movies and TV shows, and I always call it like, and then stories, like, there's like no natural flow to anything. It's just like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and it's like, with especially of course with Moffat, you could see like what they were building to or what the strings that they were tying together were. Here it's just like, yeah, they saw Rosa Parks once, yeah, they saw like Salem witch hunts once, and it's like, what's happening?
Yeah, I think you'll stay there till you get to the Flood storyline, and that's
which is the last. That's the last arc.
And that's why it didn't feel like the Doctor. I always say nothing against Jodie, because she's great. She's a great actress, and she plays the part well, but it didn't feel like the Doctor to me. And I know that you like those companions. I was a little bit iffy. I don't like having the multiple companions. It takes away from the Doctor. Having 3, great for them, because each of them gets great arcs, which they should. But then the Doctor is kind of just there. And she felt just like a human. Like, doesn't feel like the Doctor to me.
Could it maybe have to do with the fact that, and I'm loving this about Jodie, by the way, she's a massive dork. Yeah. And she feels, she has like this childlike wonder, and she's amazed by everything.
Yeah.
So in that sense, she maybe doesn't feel like the doctor, because the doctor's like, yes, I've seen this a billion times. She's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But I do love that vibe of her, and like it makes her different from what came before. I love Jazz. I love Graham. I hate Ryan. Like, I despise him. But my main issue is like the writing, and this is like something minor. I hate her screwdriver. Like,
it's very bad.
Happened there? Like, who was like, she made it out of a spoon and it looks like a finger? Like, yes,
it does, a crooked finger, and it doesn't feel even like the screwdriver. Like, she really doesn't use it for anything, which I think is just a
and great every time she uses it, you just see like the
light,
the orange light, and that's it.
Yeah. And then you go to something with the 14th Doctor. In that first episode, he's using his screwdriver to make all these screens and touch screens and create walls, kind of doing a lot of brand new stuff. And here she's like, nothing. Get nothing against her. It's not because she's a woman, the first woman doctor. It's just, the writing's not. I want to go back because I have had something similar with Capaldi. I only watched the first episode. Like, I can get through this. And then when I watched it again, it's like, I get it and I love it. Maybe I get that feeling back when I see her. So I don't know. Just listening to you, it might not be that way.
Alan is saying that he wanted more from her storytelling, especially from a queer standpoint. I think he's talking about Jazz, because he said Jazz is a good companion. I really like Jazz. Like, and I came into this season like ready to hate the companions, because I heard so much about them and how people didn't like them. So I was like, wait, they're not gonna be good. But I really like Jazz and Graham. I don't like Ryan,
because he doesn't know how to ride a bike. Ryan. He'll learn eventually.
Boy, I'm Ryan.
Yeah. Again, I've never been the fan of multiple companions. I prefer the one-on-one. So this kind of, it took me a while to get it.
Don't you?
I know.
Throw shade at Rory and Amy.
And Amy. I mean, they're some of the best. There's some, I'm in that minority.
And also, but, like, Bill Nardole and Missy.
That was a
song.
I go to that in the back of my head when I said I don't like multiple companions. I said Nardole was a companion, Missy was there. It's like they were multiple, even though they didn't feel like companions. Of course, they were companions.
I love that scene when Missy comes out of the TARDIS and it's like, I'm streamlining, baby.
Missy, that reveal. I listened to your latest episode with Tony, and Tony saying that he got spoiled, I guess, just reading all the old message board that people thought
I Missy knew, was like, there. From the first time she showed up, I was like, oh, yeah, that's the master.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. After you finish with Jodie, we'll talk about spoilers, things that were spoiled to me and things that worked. Something that what Alan just mentioned in the chat to me, that queer storyline made sense from one point or one part of that relationship to me, not the other, because I didn't see it. But
I still have to see it from what I've heard. Like, they build it up and then nothing happens. That's why.
So I am sorry if I'm spoiling, not really spoiling, but it's like you understand that Yas has this infatuation with the doctor and this crush on the doctor. It never reciprocated. I didn't see it till Yas then confesses her love. She said, oh, yeah, me too. It's like my word came out of nowhere from the doctor's standpoint. Maybe I just.
It's kind of like if David Tennant at the end of it was like, yes, Martha, I do love you. Like, really?
Yeah, exactly. This never happened. Poor Martha Jones got done.
That. I have so many thoughts about her story. She got done dirty.
And she kept popping up, and then still. Now you're just
a warrior. She was a badass. She was a secret agent.
She was. She was a doctor in the moon. All right, let's wrap it up, because we can keep talking about the doctor.
Yep.
We'll do another doctor show. Just go listen to Bad Wolf broadcast and get all your Doctor Who fix over there. All right, Oti, we'll be back next week. I think you'll be out next week, right?
I'm not sure. If I can make it, I'll make it. We're working on a move, so I'm not sure if I'll be able. We'll see.
All right, we'll play by ear. Hopefully you're here. It's a two-episode arc, so hopefully you can talk about that. And you can see me paint my face in clown makeup when Tech doesn't show up. But we'll see if that happens. All right, we'll see everyone next week. Stay safe, be safe, and believe it or not, I do not know everything. See you.